Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, this is an audio recording of a conversation with a new client who's seeking, as many of you do, to purchase a ski vacation home and lease it out when not in use via short-term or monthly rentals. Now, we've had plenty of these conversations here on the podcast in the past, but what I like about this one is how practical and forward-thinking this particular client is. So he quickly realizes what can and can't be done, breaks down all the procedures involved into timelines, potential costs, and feasibility, and gets down to business with research, implementation, in a practical and efficient way, as opposed to many people who contact us, and rightfully so, assuming that they can simply buy anything that they want and easily rent it out short-term throughout the year. And then we have to kind of burst their bubble and disappoint them once they realize it's not nearly as smooth and easy here in Japan. So we talk the usual items related to this topic, buying on standalone land versus on resort grounds, how Minpaku, casual short-term rentals licenses work, and how they differ from a hotel or inn license, what needs to be researched before zeroing in on a property, as far as local ward office regulations and management companies are concerned, viewing structural inspections, the types of tenants that stay in monthly rental properties in various locations, as opposed to pure short-term stay guests in Airbnb fashion, and of course, how we at NTI can help. So full purchase facilitation, consulting, research, portfolio management, and so forth. What the costs involved are, and then we end up with a detailed and structured game plan, which we're now in the process of executing on his behalf. So if you've been listening to these ski rental episodes that we've had on the podcast before and thinking that it all sounds too big to tackle, too fragmented to properly understand and act on, this one is probably the episode for you. His side of the audio is a bit less than ideal, but the content is pure gold, so well worth it. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you again on the other side. Okay, so yeah. Scrolling down through.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. How was your day off yesterday?
It was good.
Did you go anywhere?
Yeah, not really. Half day work, half day chilling. Nothing too too unusual. So I'm just scrolling down through your email now. Tax accountant referral, first thing. So there are a bunch of accountants that I can refer you to. They obviously vary in prices and expertise and so forth. So do you want to give me a rough idea of what you want the accountant to do exactly?
So I'm, 5 years ago, I came to Japan as an expat. So I have to rely on KPMG, which Rakuten referred to me. They work with Rakuten a lot.
Yeah, I remember we discussed that.
Before, in the past, the company pays for my tax return fee.
Yep.
So, I know they're expensive, but, they pay. But then now I don't work there anymore. I have to pay on my own, and it's very expensive.
Yep.
So it's a personal, it's not company. It's a personal tax return. I have, my situation is I have U.S. income from the stock market. I bought a mansion in Japan.
Yep.
I I still have January to June this year. I have received a salary from Rakuten. I quit in July.
Yep.
And it's very straightforward. Oh, I have for the Rosato North Sea too.
You have a what? Sorry?
For Rosato North Sea, when you pay
Like Shima-san.
certain money to some prefecture, they send you like a
Oh, the
message.
gifts. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So you submit your tax re
Rosato North Sea.
you su
Yeah.
submit your tax return at the prefectural office as opposed to the national office.
I need help with that. I have a lot of that too. That's it. It's a normal personal tax return. I don't see there's like a
Okay.
complicated.
And what's going to be your what's your income stream going to look like? Are you going to be employed again? You're going to be a business self-employed? What's the plan with income?
I'm still a consultant to Rakuten, but at very limited hours. I receive about 2 man yen from per month.
Yep.
That's it. And I'm thinking about I'm going to Japanese school now, so I don't really have a business yet, but I'm planning to have a business if I can have some successful there's a lot of blockers to do the Airbnb business.
Yeah.
And if I can clear the blockers, then I'm planning to open a business in Japan next year. But right now, this year I don't have any business. It's
Okay.
just a very normal employee status in
Yep.
Japan.
And you have income from the US, you mentioned, from other investments in the US, which you're also bringing into Japan, I'm assuming. So that needs to be reported as well, correct?
I don't bring to the
Oh, you
Japan.
don't
I
bring.
leave.
Okay.
Yeah, but I still have to, because I'm as I remember from KPMG. Because I live in Japan and I'm etukken, a permanent resident. So
Beyond
all.
5 years, I think you need to start reporting.
Yeah, just the 5 years, and also I became permanent resident last year. So
Yep.
since then, all the source income from all over the world I have to report, as long as you live in Japan.
Yep.
That's a pain in the butt. And
No, that's what accountants are for. I don't even try to do that myself.
well, yeah, but that's another story. But KPMG did everything like my US income from stock market. I also have stock options from Rakuten, but that's a Japan
Yep.
base, so it's local. I sold my Rakuten stock this year too. But that's just income in
Okay. So,
Japan. It's nothing
I think from what you're describing, I think one of the more affordable basic level accountants that we our customers use would be fine. I'll send an introductory email when we're finished talking.
So he or she speak English well,
Basic
okay?
English. Now, well is a stretch. Basic English. He can provide reports in English. He can communicate with you via email in English. And if and when necessary, he can also have a phone call or a Zoom call in English. But it's basic English. It's not not what you're used to, I'm guessing, from KPMG and so
Yeah.
forth. Those kind of companies charge a lot more.
Is he in Tokyo or
No, he's based here in Fukuoka.
Fukuoka? Okay. How much will he charge me about approximately?
I'm not sure. Our customers only have property. I mean, the customers that we refer to him, most of them only have property income in Japan because they're mostly non-residents. So to them, he charges about ichiman yen every year per property that they own.
Ichiman yen for per property
Per
they own?
property. So if they have five or six property, he charges go rokuman.
That's it?
That's it. But I'm not sure your case. You're not more complicated in your setup, but you're more complicated in the sense that you're here in Japan. You've got other income streams from overseas and the consulting you do for Rakuten. So I'm not sure. I can't really testify to any test cases because the customers that I refer to him are usually a bit different than you.
Okay.
But he's very he's very affordable, so I'm sure whatever you get from him would be very competitive compared to other accountants.
I expect to be cheaper than KPMG.
Yeah, that's not going to be hard, I think.
Okay, that's good. Thank you so much for that. That's settled it. And the next topic would be, whatever I sent today.
So Minpaku based research, right?
Right. So I hope I was clear in the email.
Your email is quite clear. I think I might put that in a bit of a different order, though, because the first step. Okay. So you've listed down 1, 2, 3, 4 locations, but they're basically all Nagano-ish, right?
Right, they are Nagano-ish.
Yeah.
But I thought it's based on the locals, city.
It is. Yeah. So I think what would probably the best thing that we can do first before we dig into Minpaku regulations and so forth, the best thing to do would be to look for Minpaku licensed management companies in Nagano Prefecture and see what the area for each of them is, because if they tell us that they can only service Nagano City itself, for example, then it's not very useful. So we'll look into what companies are available out there and what areas they can serve and what other criteria or requirements they have, because some of them, for example, will take on a minimum of 10 bedroom houses, right? Otherwise it's not worth their money. Others will only want to do it if it's like a ryokan or a guest house. Others will be okay with just 1 or 2 units. So the first thing to do would be to see who you can actually work with in Nagano Prefecture as a rule. And then based on the companies we find and the services they provide and the areas that they serve, then we can drill down into local municipality and check what the regulations are. And at that point, if we already found a company that we can potentially work with, they would also have a lot of information about regulations. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. They'll already have a lot of it written down or at least known to them.
Right.
And once we map that, then we'll know where and what kind of property is feasible to start looking into local regulations. Because local regulations often will be, they're going to have something like the websites that you specified. They're going to have general information specified on their website. But then the bottom line always ends up being we can't tell you before we see the property, right? So they need to review the property you're potentially planning to purchase, and then they can tell you if it complies, if it doesn't comply, what it needs to comply, and so forth. So I think there's no point digging into local municipality offices before we can actually confirm that we have a local management company to work with and then take it from there.
Okay, I think that makes sense.
Because a lot of the Airbnb places that you're seeing out there are either owners occupiers, or at least the owner or somebody that the owner knows lives close by. So that satisfies already a lot of the requirements. But that's not going to be the case in your case. You're not going to be living there, right?
Not for a long time.
Not for management purposes on a regular basis. I mean.
Oh, yeah. So I sent for 4 locations. I think my number one is Kadokawa, because I really love it there.
Yep.
It's a very good tourist location. I know after I talked to you last week, I kind of realized the properties I looked at, they're all like villa, right? You call it villa?
Yep.
And they have a lot of, maybe a lot of recreation, so I kind of expect Kadokawa is like a no-go, but you know, I see a lot of Airbnb in Kadokawa too, so yeah. I'm like, that might be not the case. You know, the one I put in the email, that guy has, I think that area is not a villa area, but it's a little further from the station. So you know, I'm sure that something can be done. I'm just like, that's why I need you to help. But
I have no idea, because to be honest with you, whatever the local municipality regulations are, they will necessitate somebody within a certain distance from the property, whether it's management company staff or the owners themselves. 100% remote with the management company or the owner both living in very distant cities, I don't think any regulation will allow that, but we can check. Again, the local companies that we contact will already have an idea of what the requirements are.
So you're going to find those local management company. I think that's pretty much my number three.
Yeah, but that should be the first step, because if there's nobody there who can service you, there's no point digging into the rest and, you know, wasting your time and money on research that's not going to go anywhere.
So let's say you found someone in Kaluazhao.
Yeah.
And they only speak Japanese. So let's say they have something to offer. What happened to us is I work with Nippon Trading and then you guys work with them.
Yeah, that's right. So if there is a company that we can work with, then we can facilitate the relationship.
Okay. I think they will know, you know, the local city government's rules. So if Minpaku is not the way to go, which I kind of also expect in some ways, because of the strict requirements, the small hotel business permit, this is something I'm also interested.
But same story, you need staff within, at the property or within a certain distance to the property. It's not going to change that requirement. And even if you do monthly rentals, then, you know, there's no legislation compliance, but you still need a local management company to manage the monthly rentals too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
small hotel business permit doesn't require a customer service admin staff support. It's not mandatory, that part. But
not present at the premises at all given time, but I think they need to be within a certain calling distance. And also, again, local municipalities can further tighten the legislation and the regulations in their areas. So until we actually check with them, we wouldn't know.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
Okay.
I just don't want to make confirmations or promises that I'm not able to keep. I have no idea. We haven't looked into it. We've got very general information similar to what you've got in this email here, but we've never actually pursued it further for any customer in that area, so I can't tell you until we do.
Okay. How much time you estimate you can help me on this first task, I can say?
Well, I guess researching local management companies will probably take us an hour or two to compile a list of potential companies, and then maybe another 2, 3, 4 hours, depending on how many companies are available, to contact them and find out what they can offer and how they can help. So our minimum hourly retainer bank is 10 hours. I'm guessing that initial part of the research will probably be up to about 5 hours. And then we'll have some data for you to decide how to direct the other 5 hours, whether we're digging into municipal research or we're just looking for other areas or whatever the case may be. If we don't find any companies in that area, then it's going to be a very short search, 1 or 2 hours, and then you just point us in another direction that you're interested in.
I see. So how's the payment going to be?
We invoice you in advance for 10 hours, which is 44,000 yen, 4,000 per hour plus tax. And then we deduct from that hourly bank whenever we do work on your behalf, and we'll let you know as we progress what results we got, or whether you still got a lot of hours left or you need to top up soon as we advance. But I don't know what we'll find yet, so I can't say if it'll take the whole 10 hours or part of them or more than that. I don't know.
I'm not too worried about hours because I have a lot of tasks I need help with. So
yeah,
not too worried about that. But okay,
we'll just bill you for 10 hours at a time, and then if and when you choose to pursue a purchase and you're going to need our help with purchasing the property, then we'll provide you our engaged customer discount, and we'll take off 1,000 yen per each hour that we charged. We'll credit that against the purchase for invoice.
Oh, that's when I have to sign those contracts, right?
Yes, you don't need to do that for research work, but once you want us to actually facilitate a purchase, we'll need the engagement document signed and witness, or signed and stamped in your case. You've got a hanko.
Okay. So last time you sent me, I didn't get a chance to look at it actually. You sent me the LPOA.
Yep.
And
the contract.
But that's when I decide to make a purchase, right?
Yeah, when we actually need to represent you, sign documents on your behalf, attend official meetings on your behalf, that kind of thing, we need to have the authority to do that. But just for research and, you know, inquiring with companies, inquiring with the local ward office, we don't need any special documentation for that.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. let me see what else. About the 1 month or more rental that you talk about.
Monthly rentals, month, yep.
The one that doesn't, in a gray area.
It's just a normal rental. It's not in the gray area. It's just not considered minpaku. It's a normal rental.
It's a normal rental, right? Yeah, that part I also need help with. In that city that I sent for research.
Yep, but that's again, the first step again is to look for management companies, because even though there's no special legislation about monthly rentals, you still need somebody to manage them for you. So unless you're planning to do all of the advertising and booking and install automatic check-in and check-out, and you're going to be hands-on with managing occupancy and dates and so forth, then you can maybe try to do it on your own. Because with monthly rentals, there's no special legislative requirements. So you could, but it becomes a bit of a full-time job to manage marketing channels and bookings and check-ins and check-outs.
No, there's no way I can do that.
Yeah, so we still need a local management company who can do all of that.
Yeah, I used to own properties in Texas, U.S. I hire a management company. They do everything for me. So I'm quite familiar with that. And I also know you guys are based in Kyushu, Fukuoka. Although the city I sent you, the locations I sent you, it's in Nagano. I'm open to Fukuoka area or like Kansai area that you guys are more familiar with, I think maybe.
Well, it's not a matter of we're familiar with everywhere, but the point is that in big cities or close to big cities, it's a lot easier for us to find local short-term stay management companies, whether it's minpaku or monthly stay. In Tokyo and Kyoto, for example, I can tell you it's not a problem. Osaka, there's probably at least a few companies from Kyoto that can get to, or maybe there are a local, I'm sure there are Osaka company. In Fukuoka, I know at least one or two companies that can handle short-term rentals, but countryside Nagano, Karuizawa, no idea. But in those areas, it's a lot easier. In a big metropolitan center, it's a lot easier to find those companies.
Are you guys familiar with any countryside area in Fukuoka area? Like any touristy?
Yep. Itoshima is quite popular. Itoshima, which is about 30, 40 minutes west by train from Fukuoka City.
Itoshima?
Itoshima. Itoshima.
How do you spell it? Nitto?
Ito. I-T-O. I-T-O. Shima. S-H-I-M-A. That's actually been voted, I think Monocle magazine voted them one of the best small cities globally to live in. It's a very popular holiday resort. A little bit, not in Fukuoka prefecture itself, but about 2 hours northeast around Yamaguchi, Shimonoseki is quite a few popular resort areas as well.
Yeah, I've been to Fukuoka like 2-3 times already. I know it's quite convenient to go to the ocean.
Yeah.
It's not too far away from ocean from the beach.
Yeah. So along the ocean, it's Shimonoseki to the east and Itoshima to the west. If you go a little bit further west, you get to Karatsu, which is, I think, about an hour and a half drive from Fukuoka City, but it's also quite popular for holidays, although more traditional Japanese yokan type holidays. And then, of course, an hour. Sorry?
Anatsu?
Karatsu. Karatsu. Karatsu.
Karatsu.
And then an hour or 2 hours south of Fukuoka, there's of course Kumamoto and Aso and Oita and Befu, but those are not really beach locations. They're more onsen mountainside location.
To be honest, I'm very, very, when I stay in Beppu and Oita area, I really love that area too.
Yeah, yeah. Very popular as well.
I'm open to other places.
Yeah, but of all the places that I've just listed out, the only place where I can go, where I know that we maybe can get short-term stay management is Itoshima. And even there, we only have one company that we can work with. We haven't found anybody else that goes as far as that. So, and that's just 30, 40 minutes from the city, right? So I cannot promise anything about management companies in those areas. If it's long-term residential leases, no problem. But if it's short-term, minpaku monthly, I don't know until we start researching. I know that the companies that we spoke to in Fukuoka City only want to service the city itself. They're not interested in getting out to the countryside. So I doubt you'll have management companies in those areas, unfortunately. It might be a good startup for you to start a national short-term stay property management company that can service anywhere in Japan.
Yeah, the purpose of my project is not really buying a home in the city and rent it out. I mean, that I can do in many American cities.
Yeah.
You know, as I told you before, the original purpose is for me to have a vacation home myself. But at the same time, I can rent it out. So Airbnb is the perfect solution. But, you know, they make it very hard.
It's
now.
Not easy in Japan. No.
I also, if Nagano doesn't work, then I will work on, Kamakura.
Kamakura might be a lot more feasible. That's
also a really touristy-friendly place and very popular.
That could be an option. Somewhere around Chiba Prefecture maybe could be an option too. I think a lot of the Tokyo companies can reach those. I don't know if it'll be very profitable, but they could reach those places.
I see, like, in Kamakura Kanagawa Prefecture, like the south near the ocean, you can find something for Sen-Ryakuman.
Yeah, I've got a customer buying exactly that at the moment. Sen-Ryakuman on the on
Yeah.
somewhere along the train line between Ueno and Narita. I'm not sure exactly where, but some small town along the train line there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely out there, those properties, and they're in pretty good shape, a lot of them.
So yeah, but then yeah, let's start with Nagano first because I like going to snowboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did we cover everything?
Everything on your list, yeah, I think so. What I'll need next is a name and address to put on the invoice, and then we can bill you for the first 10 hours and we'll take it from there.
Okay,
All right.
send it in an email.
Excellent. Great talking to you again. And
So we
the accountant introduction email, I'll send that immediately.
yes. But we probably don't have to meet next week then. Let's see how the research
Yeah, I think we can pick
goes.
up the research via email. We should be right.
Yeah. But okay.
All right. Speak to you
I think
soon. Thanks for your time, Rio.
All right. So yes, excellent chat there. Again, this client is very well organized in his thoughts and his game plan. So it's a real pleasure to work with him on this project. We've already started, as discussed, with researching local short-term stay management companies in some of the areas that he's shortlisted, now finalizing that part of the research. Then the next step would be to liaise with the company that he'll choose, draw on their expertise in the areas that they service, to then try and zero in on a suitable property that would have the highest chance of obtaining a license with the least amount of renovation and repurposing required. I'm pretty excited to be working with him on this one. I hope you also found value in the conversation.
Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa, and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com and he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time.